It must be understood that the reason for your creation is a vision on the heart of God. He created you to extend his dominion in the heavens into the sphere of the earth. And that is what makes man a critical factor in the creation of God. Satan, therefore, will consider man an object of attack, an object of emphasis, because if he can derail man, the implication will be that God will be unable to extend his dominion into the visible realm. So you are God's entry point into your family. You are God's entry point into your office, your place of work. You are God's entry point into your nation. But that is dependent on the fact of whether you are yielded to God's authority in the first place. Man is a critical factor in the subject of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We are designed to be expressions of God. We are designed to be carriers of the authority of God. And the Bible says that he called them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. We are going to proceed this morning, and we are trying to really understand what exactly the kingdom of God means before we go into detailed teaching on its administration and what God does to you as an individual Christian that will enhance the manifestation of his dominion upon the face of the earth. So I have simplified it as much as I could to give us an understanding of what exactly the kingdom of God means. Number one, God's kingdom is equivalent to his dominion. God's kingdom is equivalent to his dominion. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. God's kingdom. So anywhere God begins to dominate in such a place, his kingdom is. His kingdom is equivalent to his dominion. Now, what I want to read for us in the book of Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, has to do with the personal testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. When God dealt with him, God dealt with him by his authority. And after the dealing was accomplished, he had a testimony. And this testimony is in the book of Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and verse 35. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding was returned unto me. That was the same Nebuchadnezzar that prided himself as a god of gods, as a king of kings. That's the Nebuchadnezzar, the same Nebuchadnezzar that made himself an object of worship. And God decided to exercise his authority over him, seeing that he's, if you are not, are you with me? If you are not in the body of Christ, that doesn't limit God. You are still part of his creation. So he still has authority over you. So he can judge an unbeliever. But you see, the thing about you being in the body of Christ puts you in a category that I'm going to explain in a few minutes now. He puts you in a different category, and there's a different way he exercises his authority, his dominion over your life. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. But this is an unbeliever. He said, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding was returned unto me. It means God took away his understanding. He began to model himself like a beast of the field. And that was an act of God's judgment on his life. And the reason why God has the right to judge is because he is part of his creation. His understanding was returned unto him. And I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is what? An everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from this is an unbeliever. This is a testimony. That's a testimony. After the dealings that God gave him, this unbeliever, his understanding was returned unto him. The first utterance was praise to the Most High. He acknowledged that there was a king that was more powerful than himself. And he said, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. Where did he get this revelation? Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. That means in every generation, God will be extending the frontiers of his rule, of his dominion. And you must understand that the conduit pipe through which his rule can come into the earth, because God is spirit, the conduit pipe is man. That was why man was created in the image of God, created in the likeness of God, to be able to step down the realities of God into this frame of reference and bring the influence of God right here. So just in case in your family there are attacks and there's darkness and all kinds of stuff, it is because there are people that are aligned to the kingdom of darkness and they are bringing the realities of that kingdom within that context. Man will always be the conduit pipe to bridge the gap between the supernatural and the natural. And that's the crown position that God placed man in his creation, making him a very, 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 very veritable object of attack from the kingdom of darkness. Because if the devil controls more hearts, he controls more lands. If Jesus controls more hearts, he controls more lands. So when God comes into your space, the first thing he does is that he conquers your heart. That is what he has achieved in this man. Used his judgment to get the king to testify. I don't know, but if we get to heaven, you might see Nebuchadnezzar there. That's my own personal opinion. You might just see, they say that one there is Nebuchadnezzar. Whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Can you see the relationship between dominion and kingdom? So the dominion of God is equivalent to the kingdom of God. God wants to dominate not just you, your entire village, your community. Your community that worships and reveres Aleku, he wants to take over so that the altar of Aleku will be burnt off. And then he becomes the governor among the Idoma people. He becomes the ruler among the Igede people. And you are the functionary that will make that happen. Through your yieldedness to him, he will have a platform to stand on to extend his dominion. So the kingdom of God is equivalent to the dominion of God. Yes, next verse there. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? The dominion of God is equivalent to the kingdom of God. So we need to ask some practical questions, like, what change can your life as an individual bring? What power does your personal prayer possess? Because if your life as an individual can't bring about any change, God is in deficit. If your prayer cannot change any circumstance, God is in deficit. It means that your immaturity, your lack of alignment to God, has not given God the opportunity to express himself through your vessel as much as he would desire. We are still trying to do definition of terms. We'll soon go deeper into the inner administration of the government of God in the heart of a man by reason of the office of the Christ. When we go to that layer, you will see the kind of things we do within our secret and our inward parts that move us away from alignment, and as such, his government is displaced. And if his government doesn't have that place of preeminence within your vessel, his vision concerning you will be truncated. The Bible makes us to understand that in the end of days, the battle of the earth will be fought on a platform. And that platform is the supernatural. It will no longer be hidden. Like people are still hiding under the Democrats Party, hiding under APC to do evil. But in the fullness of the days in which we live, evil men will not need to hide under platforms. They are going to manifest in their raw demonic state, just like Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. The battle for dominion in the realms of the earth will become a raw display of the capacities of the kingdoms. And that's why the greatest service you can do for yourself right now is to align to the Spirit of Christ that is tabernacled upon your heart. Always remember that the center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God. And the center of the administration of God is the throne of God. The dominion of God is equivalent to his kingdom. That's point number one. Point number two. Although God rules over the entire universe as his kingdom, he has a particular interest in the earth. His intention is to have the earth controlled by the heaven. God is the one that created Saturn, Pluto, Uranus, Venus, Mars. The scripture is saying that God has particular interest in the earth. Much more than Pluto. Much more than Uranus. Much more than Mars. Much more than Venus. Much more than Saturn. And that is captured in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. The design is that the heavens should rule the earth. The dominion that has been established. Have you heard that scripture that says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? It means that if we can take our time to find out how God rules in the heavens, that's exactly what God wants to achieve upon the face of the earth. And God will not stop until he achieves it. And if you're a student of the Bible, you'll find out that at the end of the book, he achieved it. So he's going to achieve it for your information. And he is a God that knows the end from the beginning. And he has taken time to speak about this end in the book of Revelation. Are you still with me? Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. So he is the Lord of the universe. But he has a particular interest in the earth. And his interest is that the heavens will what? Rule there. And that's why, okay, let me read that scripture. It said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, if we go to the book of Matthew, you will find a phrase. That phrase is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the meaning of that phrase, as I attempted to explain yesterday, is to bring the rule of God, which is established in the third heavens, and the implication of the throne of God to superimpose it upon the earth. All right? And the conduit pipe through which that can happen is you. Now, let me push you a little, because this administration I'm talking about is organic. There's an organic aspect. There is an aspect of it that implicates your life as a Christian deliberately. Are you with me? We said yesterday that salvation was a remedial initiative to give us the possibility of operating under the kingdom of heaven one more time. It was the kingdom, the possibility of being ruled from heaven that Adam lost. That possibility was no longer in view on the account of his rebellion. So salvation has provided the opportunity for us to come under the rule of heaven one more time. So salvation is remedial. redeem us from a departure from kingdom alignment and bring us back into kingdom alignment. So the objective, the goal of salvation is that every one of us be under the authority of the King who is domiciled in the third heavens. Now, we'll go into the organic aspect. It's a very delicate and complex aspect, how God rules us from our heart. It is because of the fact that God intends to rule from our heart. That is the reason why we need to prioritize the condition of our spirits, because that is where God's command tower will be speaking from. So just in case your soul is speaking and your spirit is speaking, you are enjoined as a Christian to prioritize the economy that is in your spirit over and above the economy that is in your soul. And the reason is because God in the New Testament economy will be transmitting from your spirit man. And that's why we need to prioritize this activity that is contained in our spirit. Now, when we come to that section, the organic aspect of the kingdom of God on the hearts of men, where we'll talk about the office of the Christ and how he brings administration of the authority of God into your own heart as an individual Christian, then you will see all that is needed for you to stay in alignment and become an expression of that which God is doing within your heart. It's on the strength of these that we now understand in the New Testament economy that God will first do what he wants inside of you before he does it through you. Right? He will do it where? Before he will do it. For those of us that minister in the supernatural, those of us that minister in the supernatural quite frequently, if you are hoping that God will come into a meeting and heal people, deliver people, all of that, you will go and secure it in the place of prayer. Then the Lord now does it in you. He releases the reality of the healings of people, the deliverance of people in your heart. It is only that which God has done in you that he can do through you. If you understand this, there are a lot of things you will not be careful, you will not be casual about in your walk with God. If I'm going on the street, for instance, I wake up in the morning and I commune with God, then I'm going on the street and somebody says, okay, somebody has died, pastor, come and pray. My first reaction is not prayer. Because if God is not doing it in me, if he has not done it in me, by giving me an instruction, do this, do that, he will not do it through me. So it's not about pastor. It's not about the fact that you were close to the scene of the mishap. Are you with me? Your presence means nothing. The only thing that can change that situation is that God has decided to do it in you. I was praying for Taraba Crusade, and when we came to the crusade ground on the first night, I saw a cripple rise and walk. The reason why God showed me a cripple is because he's doing it. That vision, the person close to me, Shala, was very close to me. He didn't see it because it was done in me. You understand that? So I knew that God was going to raise a cripple. Meanwhile, the first night that I prayed, God gave me two instructions. He said, pray for the deaf only. And then the second instruction, when I forgot it on the pulpit. Part of what he sent me to do that first night was not to pray for that cripple that he showed. So he had already done it in me, had seen it that he would do it on the crusade ground. Huh? And that doesn't mean it is when I'm preaching he will do it. Because he gave me my own marching orders and I prayed for the deaf. I did exactly what he wanted me to do, but I forgot to do the second thing. When I landed, he now reminded me. Then I begged him. I said, okay, I will still preach again. Will you give me the opportunity to? So he now said yes. I said. So the second day, Shala was to preach. So I now prayed. I said, God, that cripple, remember that cripple. Shala ministered. The cripple didn't rise that night. The next day, Pastor Gideon was to preach. I said, that cripple, remember. So I was not insisting that it was during my session. Because in the vision I saw, I didn't see who was ministering. I just saw a cripple. Do you understand that? But I know he had done it in me because I saw it with the eyes of my spirit. It is what he has done in me that he can do through me. On the third night, when it was my turn to preach again, I knew without a prophecy that that crippled person was going to walk that day. So when I was ministering to the sick, I challenged any crippled person there, walk now. And then I saw the crutch went up and people in the stadium began to. But you see, that thing, that miracle was 3 days old in my heart. Now, so we need to know how God accomplishes his will in your heart. He will not do more than he has accomplished in your heart. So the fact that somebody dies close to where I am, and you say, hey, pastor, it's not even a guarantee that I will pray for the person. Because I've worked with God long enough to know that it is not your physical presence that means anything. It is what God is doing. What? We'll finish a service like this and somebody sent me a text that, see, my sister just became lifeless and, you know, and I preached in this service. And when I preached, I was receiving transmission from the Holy Ghost. And he never raised the issue of somebody that died that I will raise. So when that text came, I told the person, go for burial. Because he had not done. You see, be sincere. Don't try to help people see emotions. He has not done it in me. So just prepare for burial. That's it. Somebody has died now. If he doesn't do it in you, he cannot do it through. So while I was ministering here, God had the opportunity to reveal to me that I'm going to minister to the dead. He didn't do that. He didn't do it in me. Do you understand that? Meanwhile, standing by this door some time ago, and somebody said they wanted to bring her child for me to pray for. I said, okay, wonderful. I said, what was the event? The child finished school. So, say, bring the child for prayer. I said, oh, no problem. I'm around. So I was standing by this door, and he brought the child. Instantly, I saw death. He did it in me. So when I told the mother, this, your child is dead. He looked at me, I was wondering. I said, okay, you don't believe. Then I said, death, leave her. Then she fell down and couldn't stand up again. I said, okay, this is how death operates. I took time to teach her about death. You know why I was in charge? He did it. Don't wake up and say, I'm going to the mortuary too. You'll be arrested. Because nobody, there'll be nothing will happen. Nothing is going to happen. God's intention is that the heavens will rule the earth. And you are the bridge between the heaven and the earth. And so that which is done in the heaven, you will see it in you through the spirit that operates there. There's only a man of heaven that can open the window of heaven. And then you can pick those frequencies in your heart. So there's a mighty economy of the workings, the administration of God that is in your heart, which we will need to take time to learn. I think that is going to take us a very long time to understand the workings of God in your heart, because his workings are not in English language. His workings are in spirit language. And you need to master spirit language. You need to master it. And in order for you to master spirit language, I need to tell you what you are going to do. There is a school you need to attend. Just like when you go to primary school, they teach you the sounds of the alphabet. That A is A, B is Ba. Like that. That's how you will learn spirit language. They'll need to teach you the alphabet. So that when the Holy Ghost moves like this, you know what it means. Because you went to school. It's a very, very structured educational system that you must be part of. If you are going to intercept the frequencies of heaven and know what the Lord is doing, oh my God, you are not with me. Okay, John chapter 5. It is God's will for the heavens to rule the earth. John 5:19. It's God's will for the heavens to rule the earth. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. If you are going to be that conduit through which God will be manifesting his will upon the face of the earth, the first thing that you cannot avoid is to empty yourself of self. And I need to explain to you that self is you in you. That means the you that is residing in your soul. Okay? This is Pastor Chris. If I step down from this pulpit and I slap Pastor Chris, the Pastor Chris in his soul will react. And the Christ that is in his spirit will react. But the two reactions are going to be opposite. The Pastor Christ in his soul, which is him in him, is falling. And he will be operating from a falling perspective. He holds a falling worldview. And in the eyes of that him in him, the only way to counteract that slap is to manufacture another one in a more sensitive place. Are you with me? Meanwhile, there is another personality within his vessel. That personality is domiciled in his spirit. The response of that personality, it will not be as the voice of the personality speaking from the soul will be louder and it will be more apprehensive. According to the scriptures, that person that is speaking from your soul, you commit it to death. You cease to give it the opportunity for expression, because that is not the personality of the new creation. That is a fallen man. That is Adam. And the Bible reveals in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that in Adam we die. If you begin to operate Adam, and Adam becomes the choice that you allow through your vessel, even though Christ is in your spirit. Are you with me? If you live that way perpetually, you can stifle the life of Christ that is in your spirit. Are you still with me? If you, as an accurate New Testament Christian, decide that, okay, that which came from your soul, you delivered it to the cross. That means you refuse to allow it expression. It was in your vessel, looking for your compliance so that you will release it. But you refused. It means you have carried the cross. You are bearing the cross. And bearing the cross is a daily Christian activity. Every time the soul man wants to manifest itself according to the nature of the fallen man, Adam, the cross, you commit that man to the cross and refuse it expression, because the new creation is no longer after that fallen man. So, see Jesus speaking now. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself. That means Jesus has shut down himself. I heard somebody say, for our family, with a stubborn no. He's someone that is still willing to exploit the resources of the fallen man in his soul. There's no set of people that are not stubborn. Don't pride yourself in falling things. In the days where men were stubborn, you and your family, you wouldn't have stood a chance in the days. I assure you. You might see someone like Chief Doe. Like, these are the kind of people that can bring war. Oh! You know, Jesus is powerful. He has disarmed many people. The cross is a wonderful item. So, Jesus is saying, the Son can do nothing of himself. That is his permanent state of denying himself. So when reactions take place, when pressures come, the fallen man will always have an opinion of how to respond. And unfortunately, that fallen man is in your soul. Accurate Christian living recommends that you always paralyze that man. You see, the more you are refusing to give the fallen man expression through your vessel, the more you are whipping him with paralysis. He's beginning to lose influence in your life. Hallelujah. He's beginning to lose control over your life. You are paralyzing that fallen man. I'm paralyzing the fallen man. And anytime you want to do a very great thing for God, watch out. Satan will send up opportunities for you to manifest that fallen man. And if you yield and do so, that great thing you want to accomplish, you have lost it. So the Bible says, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. I was hearing some sisters. They didn't know I was listening to their conversation. One of them was talking about a brother that broke her heart. And the plans she had designed, put in place to attack the brother. Whenever he proposes to another lady, she will become that lady's counselor. That is an educated Adam. That means she has denied the cross and had created a meticulous plan of analysis. In the day when that brother goes to propose to another person, she will just appear there like a good Samaritan and then give an analysis of his ancestry. Such is the nature of the fallen man. The nature of the fallen man likes revenge. He likes to strike back. He doesn't want to lose. But if you are going to walk with God, you will lose in the flesh. Yes. You will lose. People will come and gang up against you. You know, but you refuse to talk. Because you were constrained by the Spirit not to talk. 3 years later, your not talking is going to be the reason why God will move you higher. All those people that attacked you will be so far behind you. If only you can allow Christ to win. You pedestal yourself for something higher that is beyond reproach. I heard them talking. And those were sisters I thought were spiritual among us. It means this Bible. That's how I get feedback to know that I've not labored. So I go back and cry and say, forgive me. I'm raising a militia. It's a militia. It's a militia that I'm raising. Well, we have not modeled your testimony accurately. So I go back for repentance. And I will not have any need to discuss with that sister. What she is a reflection of what my ministry has done. So that's a feedback for me, not even for her. She say, I am going to. That's Adam. She has created a 3-seater apartment for Adam. And he has polished the place and garnished it. And he has already employed Adam in an event that brother will propose to somebody else. Adam is already waiting to find expression. But Jesus was not like that. Jesus will deliver all of that to the cross and refuse to give it expression until he becomes paralyzed and that idea dies. A lecturer in Union Agric, a revival had broken out. We had sent our disciples from here to Union Agric, and they had started a massive prayer initiative. And people were coming for the prayers and were being delivered, being imparted. All kinds of stuff began to take place. And these guys were not ESCO members in any fellowship. They were just floor members that were trained in a few things in the spirit, and they were bold enough to exercise the things in which they were grounded. And the move of God began. When the move of God began, they now saw that every month they come here for more training. And this person I'm talking about is a pastor within that, and a lecturer within that community. And discovered that there is one certain weekend where there's nothing you do, people will go to town. So the Sunday morning of that weekend in church will now become depleted because the people that are supposed to be there gone to town. So in trying to stop the people from going to town, the only way the pastor felt he could do it was to paint me in a bad light, a very terrible light, like this, the second thing as worse as an ezemo. Hallelujah. So those my disciples ran to me and said, see, this is what is happening. I said, don't you have any other important thing to do? This story now is not okay. What are we going to do with this story? we should carry a machete to go and look for the man. I remember when we wanted to go to a crusade there many years later in Uniagre. And it was impossible to do a crusade there because the man had gone round to all the avenues that we would have used, through whom we would have staged a crusade, and painted me in bad light. One of the avenues said they know me. What the man is saying is not true. So they gave us the privilege to use their platform to hold the crusade. Where was I? I was in Port Harcourt when I heard that they had set up the place. So we took a flight from Port Harcourt straight to Abuja Airport and began to come straight to Uniagre. I was as tired as ever. But you know what? Because we fought to hold that crusade for a long time, there was no way we could be tired. That night, the Lord came down. Meanwhile, that was the Lord's response after many years of manipulation. That was the Lord's feedback after many years of mind-bending. The hand of the Lord that, in fact, and we had more than 3,000 people, far more than 3,000 people. The hand of the Lord that came down there and ended that argument. Me, I would prefer to be a loser for 3 years to have one moment with the Lord. Yes. After that crusade, that pastor went to his church and was advertising my book. He never felt it was needed for him to say he was wrong. Meanwhile, the fight went on for 5 years. I don't even know how he looks like. And this fight was so intense that one of those disciples, a student of that school, was proposing to her. That man called the father of the boy and discouraged the proposal. That's the extent to which, and he did it in the name of Jesus. I've seen people that don't know the dominion of Christ in church, they are worse than Satan. Even Satan will look at them and wonder. I say, I was not involved. My hand is not in this. See, many of us, we accuse Satan. He was in China trying to help the scientists that are trying to develop another strain of coronavirus. That was where he was. But they say he did something in Uniagre. Even Satan himself will be wanting. The man went that far. Because that lady was one of our major arrowheads in that move that were smuggling into that place. They had graduated 4, 5, 6 years after graduation. He still went to call the father of the boy and say, unfortunately, the boy did not have his own personal convictions. That's why the thing worked. The manipulation. And the lady cried. I said, don't cry. Flesh can never win. Flesh can have a moment, but flesh will never, never win. You are witnesses of how people in this city, they said I was used, they have pot in my office. He said, pot, I go to consult with before I come out to minister. I have some marks. The charm that I'm using to do miracles is tied to the marks I have on my chest. My wife had been looking for those marks till now. Now, if that pressure comes and you also operate in the flesh, it means you are not better. You must deliver it to the cross. And when you deliver it to the cross, carnal men will say, you have lost. And so it will be until Jesus decides to glorify himself through your life. Hallelujah. That's how genuine grace comes. When people accuse you, people say stuff, the response of God might be 7 years later. He will give you a kind of grace that gainsayers will become useless. So the people helped me grow. When I decided to follow the standard of scriptures, which is to cut off the suggestions of the flesh and deliver it to the cross. You understand? 7 years. 7 years of silence, and the news was going on. The news. I just came back from Lagos, and there was a lady in the healing service. Her leg grew out. You know this leg? It grew out. Her leg. Okay, you were there. You were there. Her leg grew out. What kind of prayer do you pray for somebody's leg to grow out? Her leg grew out. They had already made a shoe for her that has a longer sole to make up for the shortfall in length in University of Ibadan Teaching Hospital. They had made the shoe. It was left for her to go on Monday and pick it up. On Saturday, we heard the healing service. The leg. So it is something that the doctors are aware of. She sat down because she didn't have a space inside. It was on the steps. She sat down and she noticed needles were choking that leg. 1,000 needles. She didn't know that it was because the angel was pulling it out. Even if you have met fake preachers before, if you see that miracle, you will know there's a difference. I like it when Jesus is the one advertising you by himself. It means he wants to do it. It's time for him to do it. It means the other time when it was time for you to act, you didn't act. So that's why he will come and do it. He let it grow up. I didn't know how we could manage the testimony. Because the elder sister was there and said, and then her friends in school, they were in the auditorium. So her case was a known case. The leg did what? I like that kind of response. If I wanted to fight and to respond, I wouldn't have been able to create that time. So it is always better to allow Jesus to respond for you. The Lord accepted that he can do nothing of himself. If you are going to grow in the life of God, you will need to practice what we call bearing the cross. When that self begins to give you instructions on how to respond to a case, you deliver it to the cross. You refuse its expression so that the personality that is domiciled in your spirit will be the one that will express himself. If you operate that way, people will be afraid of you. When wicked people that bedevil people, when they strike them and the people react, they know this one has nothing. But when you strike and the person says, God bless you. If the man is experiencing evil, he will know that that man is a terrible man. God will keep you. God will cause his face to shine on you. Amen. Then you leave the man. The day his troubles will start, he will know that it was that salutation that began it. Please help me tell your neighbor, it is time for you to shut down the fallen man. The son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the father do. You see, he sees the father do what he does in his heart. In your heart, there are spiritual senses by which you can discern what the Father is doing. So Jesus was a vessel in which the flesh could not have any means of expression. He was a vessel that was sold out to the Father. It was only the Father that was allowed to manifest himself. It was what he saw the Father do that was what Jesus did. So the question is this. Just like the Father was the life of Jesus, it was only what the Father did that Jesus expressed. So according to Jesus, living, are you here? Living was expressing the Father. That's Jesus' philosophy. In the New Testament, according to Paul, living was expressing Christ that was domiciled in his spirit. So you begin to live when your vessel becomes a platform for only Christ to showcase himself. There'll be many opportunities for Adam to showcase himself. He will fight to be revealed. But anytime Adam rises, the right thing for you to do as a Christian is to deliver him to death at the cross. Cease to allow him express himself so that your vessel becomes a platform for only Christ to find expression. Then the beauty of Christ will be revealed in your life. There is a beauty that will manifest through your life that no kind of discipline can ever bring. Hallelujah. So it is God's will. Yes, let me finish the reading. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. So what thing soever, he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. That's how to live the God life. Two aspects of the God life, shutting down Adam in your soul. You see, for a believer, you are a very complex personality. Sin is in your body. And sin takes advantage of your appetites to have dominion over you. Thirst is an appetite. Sin can take advantage of it. To see something is an appetite. That's why people are hooked on pornography. Sex is an appetite. Sin can take advantage of it to bring you under dominion. Talking is an appetite. If you say, me, if I see her, they talk. The appetite to talk. It's a challenge. In case you are not a Nigerian and you are out there, and that language I spoke is not tongues. It's a strange Nigerian local creation. What it means is someone that cannot but talk. Sin will take advantage of every appetite that is within your frame. And he wants to make you a slave of those appetites. Either backbiting, sex, all kinds of stuff. Second thing about a believer is that human life is in his soul. And that human life is falling. It's an expression of Adam. So when you are under pressure, there will be prescriptions from that platform seeking to be accepted for expression. An accurate Christian should deliver the desires, the stirrings of the soul, should deliver it to the flesh, deliver it to the cross, and refuse to give it expression. Are you with me? The only personality in your vessel that should be showcased is the one that resides in your spirit, Christ in you. You need to shut down the flesh. This is a therapy for stubbornness. Because stubbornness, all stubbornness has its roots in your soul. Say, just tell him now that we are stubborn people. You have manifested Adam. That's how Adam is. A fallen man. There was nothing good in him. So there is no reason for you to still allow that evil man to still be finding expression. You shut him down and allow Christ in your spirit to find expression. And you will be amazed that Christ will not save your face. People are insulting you. He won't move you to respond. He will allow them to insult you because they also insulted him and he didn't respond. When he will answer the insult, it will be many years later. He will release grace on your life. A grace that will make you stand out. And even if you have had your day that time to insult back, God's response through that grace will be many, many fold, many, many times superior to what you would have done under those circumstances. So it is wise for you to shut Adam down. This kind of life that Jesus is living is the life that superimposes the heavens as the ultimate and gives heaven an opportunity to manifest his will on earth. This is the life of the heavens ruling the earth. This, John chapter 5, verse 19. Shutting down the flesh and giving Christ in your spirit the opportunity By so doing, you are affording the heavens the opportunity to manifest in the earth. Is that clear? Number what? 3. The kingdom of God involves both the will of God and the glory of God. The kingdom of God involves both the will of God and the glory of God. Not just the will of God alone, but the glory of God. Because it is God's will for me to preach. Abi? But I can preach and take the glory. I can preach and pedestal myself as the actor. And you'll be saying to me, prophet, prophesy. So it doesn't only involve the will of God, it also involves the will of God and the glory of God. Because God is expecting to be glorified, not man. So God can use a vessel, but his is the glory. So you must understand that it is not enough for the will of God to be done. The glory of God must be delivered unto him. Is that clear? It involves what? The will of God and what? And the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. It involves the will of God and the glory of God. You can get involved in a relationship and you prayed about it. It was the will of God you accepted. But before you got married, you entered into immorality. Even though you are in the will of God, God was not glorified. The story is not complete until we are prosecuting the will of God. And God is also, what? Glorified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 10. And ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamedly we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Next verse. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who had called you unto his kingdom and glory. So the reason why we decided deliberately to be ministers that will walk with utmost sense of integrity was because of the kind of product that we wanted to produce, so that ye can therefore walk worthy of God, and God has called us into his kingdom and his glory. Now, there is a class we are going to do. This class, when I'm done with the gospel of the kingdom, then I have to teach on the gospel of the grace of God. Then I also teach on the gospel of the glory of God. These are things that we cannot rush, so that you will understand that in the kingdom, the will of God is done and the glory of God is revealed. Can you still remember this story in the book of John chapter 9? Can you give me John chapter 9? And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Okay? And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It means his apostles, they were going through training, and Jesus must have told them that his own personal sin can be the problem. His parents' sin can be the problem. So they now found a man born blind. So now, all right, who is the sinning party in this matter? Is it the man himself or what? His parents. Next verse. Jesus answered, neither had this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The word works there is the glory. Now the glory of God be made manifest in him. And what Jesus was saying was, all right, when I was in the studio creating people, what's your name? Okay, that name she mentioned is her name. When Jesus was in the studio making people, when I showed up, he gave me eyes from the studio. When Kadima showed up, he gave her eyes. When this guy showed up, Jesus refused to give him eyes, deliberately. And the reason why Jesus refused to give him eyes was because Jesus knew that this man was going to be on earth when he himself would be around physically. So he chose that he would give the man eyes in time. Right? Notice it was not a matter of sin. He said, so that the glory of God can be manifest. There are some circumstances that God puts in place. And what he wants to get from it is what? Glory. And initially, those circumstances look like challenges. They look like situations that you would not choose if you were given an opportunity. All right, but wrapped in it is a pathway through which God can receive glory. And it was because of that man's blindness that, okay, meanwhile, the way Jesus gave the guy his eyes is the same way he gave us eyes in the studio. He spat on the ground, made some stuff out of it, and he created the eyes. He modeled it. He modeled it and asked the man to go and wash the excess. The moment the man washed the excess of dust, his own eyes were fitted into him in time. Do you realize that because of that miracle that took place, so many people will follow Jesus? It's because he manifested his glory. Many people, many of us, only see ourselves. I was abused when I was 5. What about, yes, you were abused. And there are so many people that were abused. What about yielding to the Holy Spirit and he raises you up from that mess? And then you become an agent of God that has the skills of administering care to people that were in the same, that are in the same circumstance. Most of us die with the blindness and we never give God the opportunity to earn some glory from the matter. You just make the whole thing look like it is you that is the subject. Meanwhile, God wants to be what? Say, yes, an armed robber visited. And when he broke into the sitting room, his intention to steal goods died when he saw your beauty. A different vision. He captured a different vision. Say, I was raped. That's the story. And there are many people in that category. But the difference between you and the other people is that you are born again. And God is hoping that some glory will come out of that situation. That the lady that was raped is now the first lady of our state. So she has a heart for such vulnerable people, and a different line of ministry opens just because somebody was raped. But people in church today, those the person sees that rape as anytime we are praying in church, when you see the person crying, it's not as if the Holy Ghost is working, it's the person's the rape issue is the issue. There is some glory involved. Please help me tell your neighbor there is some glory. Some glory is involved. So what you call the worst thing that ever happened to you is a platform for God to reap some glory. It doesn't end with you, it ends with God. It may have started with you when you were not given eyes from the studio, but Jesus wants to get some glory. Kingdom of God is the manifestation of the will of God and the glory of God. So what happened to you? Your being raped was not the will of God. But if you align with God, and the economy of God is powered by a spirit being, and the implication of that is you cannot be disadvantaged If you walk with the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter your deficiencies before you knew him. He will turn your deficiencies, turn your weaknesses, turn your failings around and make it a miracle. Make it a platform for service delivery. That's one thing about the Holy Ghost. So it doesn't matter how you started. You started as someone that was raped. Welcome. The Holy Spirit, if you yield to him, he's able to bring out beauty in the place of ashes. He's able to bring out the oil of joy in the place of mourning. He's able to bring out the garment of praise in the place of the spirit of heaviness. He's able to do that. It doesn't matter how you start. Don't dwell on your entry point. Dwell on the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the day, you will see that a garment of praise will be forged out of rape. It is only the Spirit that can tell the story of redemption. How rape translates to a ministry. How the poverty that you inherited from your ancestors in your family, because it's a long line of poor men. The poverty made you run to God. Say, God, you see, I'm not worth anything, so I dash you myself. And then God now receives you. And the Spirit begins to work something out of your life. And because of the dramatic changes that manifest, because you were handed out to the Holy Ghost, people in that clan will say, wow. Because they've said it to me, said it about me, to other people in my own family, that man knows the way, follow him. Do you know how many people are looking for the way? And God is hoping to be glorified through your circumstance. Don't dwell on it as you know, no. It can be your entry point. That's why you came, no problem. But you see, you will be deposited into the economy managed by the Holy Ghost and a spirit. When you are dealing with this all-sufficient spirit, you cannot be disadvantaged. Your rape can become a ministry. Your poverty can become the reason why God decides to raise a mighty man from the platform. It doesn't matter how you come. The administrator of this economy can make anything come out of nothing. So there's nothing unique about your experience, unique about your story, unique about what happened to you. What about what happened to Jesus on the cross? So many possibilities can be drawn from that. Hallelujah. We have seen people, ministers of the gospel, they were murderers, they were armed robbers before. And God made a man that was so tender and compassionate out of an armed robber. And when something goes wrong, the man is already crying. He's broken right now. He's falling on the ground in intercession. Oh, the rest of us will be praying, our eyes are open. He's slain. Crying, weeping for hours. How does God make a former armed robber such a man? Nobody can tell that story. That's the story of redemption. How life can come out of death. There is some glory that God is hoping to draw out of this. Don't dwell in your challenge, in the things people did to you, how they took advantage of you. Wake up, you have a spirit. And I'm determined that you will turn out in glory. You will turn out what? Someone made a little money in my family, and if you want to go get some money for school, there's an ezemo in one of the rooms there. He will direct you to go and receive the blessing of the ezemo before he gives you money. So those of us that had conviction and knew that this was slave trade, that even your children will suffer from that level of allegiance, we say, no! Truth us. And when I passed through Makode Bridge, I vowed I will never go in search of money again. If I die, I die. And God was waiting for me to get to that point. So that thereafter, if anything happens, I will know that it is him. May your poverty lead you to Jesus. Yeah. Not to your uncle. May your lack lead you to Jesus. May that rape lead you to Jesus. Oh my God, that situation, may it lead you to Jesus. And I challenge you, I promise you, what will come out will be Glory. Glory. History was made when the woman in this city that went to my mother to tell her that I was not attending school, that I have dropped out, I'm preaching on the street now, preaching salvation. My mother didn't believe I was in the university. She believed that I was just taking money to go and stay somewhere, and then when people come back, I follow them to come back. Until I showed her my discharge certificate from NYSC, because she believed that even certificates can be forged. Showed her discharge. It came to pass on my birthday, the one they surprised me with. As I was going out, she was begging for prayer. The same useless man that is not going to school, that is preaching on the street. You speak too early. Allow the glory to come out. That story that Jesus has been incubating, let it mature. You are too weak. A little pressure, you begin to remember how you were raped. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up! May your poverty lead you to Jesus. May the rape lead you to Jesus. And he will weave out of your life a story of glory. Because if glory has not yet come, it means he's still walking. No devil, no demon can stop the outcome of that story. If you yourself decide not to yield, I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to walk with the Holy Ghost. And nothing is going to change the course of my life. I'm stuck with Jesus in a common union. He will make glory come out of that ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the Bible says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The plantings of the Lord. The plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I finished preaching somewhere and some people arranged a jet. They say, all right, we are taking you to Makurdi. That was the first time I flew over the city. Oh, Jesus. My last coming to Makurdi was not by road. It was. And you know what? Philip B., my son, also enjoyed it. He flew over. My God. It was when I saw the new bridge, I said, oh, this is how. I began to pray in tongues because I saw the river bend. I said, hey! And you know what? This morning I woke up and I saw their text that if you are going here, here, and here, we are coming to. Coming to lift you. Somebody was coming to the hotel in Abuja to come for counsel. I said, oh, my God, you have here. I don't. Chief Donatus, when we were here praying 14 years ago, they thought we had missed our way. They thought we missed our way. They said, the young men with that vision, go and look for money. Right there. 9 a.m. I was in town. People were still going to the hotel for counseling. I was already in town. Flew over. I saw how Makurdi looked like. I released prayer on it. I said, Kai, anything in you will hear my voice. Anything. Meanwhile, we were here 14 years ago. They thought we were refugees. There's a beauty. There's a beauty he's weaving out of that situation. There's a beauty that is going to come out of it. There's a beauty. Just surrender to the Holy Ghost and allow him weave his beauty into that situation. And that situation will become a ministry. It will yield a ministry. When the glory of God has accomplished its full intent in your life. blew over. I said, okay, this is how Makurdi looks like. Spoke to River Benue. I said, hallelujah. Who knew that? That's the story of glory. And we are going to pray. And as we pray, let your heart pray. Because my case will end in glory. My case will end in glory. The one that gives eyes in the studio decided to come into time to give this man eyes so that he will be glorified. Your case will not end. Your story will not end until God's glory is fully manifest. It will not end. It will not end. There is a glory he is weaving out. Your beauty is going to come out of those ashes. The oil of joy is going to emerge out of your mourning. The garment of praise is going to find expression out of the spirit of heaviness. You will be called the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. For he is worthy of our praise. You were born sickle cell in your genotype. He will change the story to glory. Just allow the Holy Ghost. Allow the Holy Ghost to the Lord. And no man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the Lord. And no man. All the glory must be to the Lord. And no man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the Lord. Of the praise.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Oh my God. There is an appointment for everyone in Zion. The appointment gives beauty in the place of ashes. The appointment produces the oil of joy in the place of the garment of the for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. Can you take advantage of that appointment? I am in that appointment, and there is a beauty that God is bringing out of my ashes. There is the oil of joy that God is bringing out of my mourning. There is a garment of praise. I'm part of the appointment for such people in Zion. This appointment is not for people in the world. It's an appointment for such as are in Zion. Beauty for us. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that He might be glorified. We give you glory. Mia Sokeland, Braskofelendo, Skopris, Kavalantoria. Allow Him to walk on those your ashes. Submit those ashes to Him right now. Submit that mourning to Him right now. Submit that heaviness to Him. Those are the raw materials that God will use in that appointment to produce beauty, to produce the oil of joy, to produce the garment of praise. Lambo sekela minas kupri. Romena silia. Lantoske bramala. Rapapa siko samanzali. Endo lobo koria presko velama sikateli. Indo lobo soko samen. Mandala babose se proske so sela mina. Ibra bababa. Submit it to Him now. And no man. No man on earth should give glory to Himself.